Hello and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Peace Be With You, and to the fifth in a series of episodes called, simply enough, Why Lutheran? I'm Pastor E.B. from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas, located on the Colorado River, about 30 miles southeast of Austin. To find out more about us, please stop by our virtual home at epiphanybastrop.org. We hope that this series of episodes will help folks, even those among us who aren't sure why we're Lutherans, to become more familiar with Christians who call themselves Lutheran and not the other way around. The Bible is called the standard of the Christian faith because the Bible can be used to reliably establish what people need to believe to truly live life as followers of Jesus Christ. Just as anyone who wants to play football in the NFL needs to know those things that are contained in the official league rulebook, so Christians need to know what is in the Bible. NFL players who continually ignore the rules are first penalized, then fined, then suspended, and eventually expelled from the league. In the same way, those Christians who ignore the teachings of the Bible are instructed, then disciplined, then excommunicated, then ultimately face eternal condemnation for their unbelief or impenitence. Unlike the NFL rulebook, however, the Bible never changes because the God who gave us the Bible never changes. Let's look at a passage in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, the first three verses in chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer, until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be released for a little while. According to tradition, Revelation was written by the Apostle John, but it bears little resemblance to his gospel account. It's a book of prophetic revelation, which means that it cannot be used to establish doctrine. It's a series of seven visions from Jesus Christ revealed to the person John, not in clear pictures, but rather through images of the spiritual world that stagger the human mind. This passage is the beginning of the last one, a vision of Christ's final victory. Throughout Revelation, John is given to see only what the Lord wanted him to see, and he did the best he could to describe things in human terms that must have been truly inexpressible. It is immediately clear that this passage is presenting spiritual things, as do all the visions in Revelation. Satan is not a physical dragon or a serpent, but rather a powerful angel. He masqueraded as a serpent to deceive Eve, so that action is alluded to here by calling him a serpent. One cannot bind a spirit with a physical chain or lock him in a physical bottomless pit with a physical key. Given this situation, one is forced to consider everything in this passage symbolically. The only being powerful enough to constrain Satan is the Son of God himself, who came down to earth and assumed a human nature. He is the only option for being the angel of this vision. The Son of God did appear in a role of an angel several times in the Old Testament, as in Genesis chapter 22, verses 11 through 18, Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, and Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So understanding him to be the angel in this vision is consistent with other parts of the Bible. What binds Satan must be something that hampers his operations. The only thing that will prevent Satan from working freely to corrupt souls is the gospel, which is being proclaimed throughout the world, because it gives people a way to escape Satan's kingdom. Any effort to assign the means of his confinement, as in a key or a chain, pit, seal, to specific things in the operation of the Lord's dispensing of his grace would be speculative. The information in the vision is too limited. But what about the 1,000 years? Because everything else in this vision is spiritual and symbolic, it would be inconsistent reasoning to conclude that the 1,000 years is a period measured by some human calendar. The number 1,000 is used in various places in the Bible, including Revelation, to indicate an indefinitely large but finite number, as in Joshua chapter 23, verse 10, Job chapter 9, verse 3, Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, and Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. The 1,000 years mentioned here must therefore be regarded as a long but finite period of time. The purpose of confining Satan is so that the gospel can be preached to the nations. Yet the Greek word translated here as nations can also be translated as Gentiles. This makes more sense. The completion of Christ's work on earth has led to missionaries spreading the gospel throughout the Gentile world, which, before Christ, was almost exclusively Satan's domain. Being constrained, Satan is losing Gentiles to Christ's kingdom. Sadly, the last sentence indicates that a time is coming when the forces opposing the spread of the gospel will gain such power that Satan will again be effectively free to suppress the saving message. This understanding of this section of Revelation is consistent with the rest of the Bible, which elsewhere, see Matthew 24, chapter 24, speaks of days of tribulation just before Christ returns. Now, some church bodies argue, based on this section of Scripture, that there will be a thousand-year period called the millennium, in which Christians will dominate the world and in which there will be great prosperity. See chapter 11. Whether Christ comes before or after the millennium is a matter of hot debate among people who hold such a belief. Such an interpretation of this section of Scripture is incompatible with clear descriptions of the return of Christ on Judgment Day and of his heavenly kingdom. Again, Matthew 24. Christ sought no earthly kingdom. Why would he? He is the Lord God Almighty. There is no seed of doctrine for a physical millennium in the narrative parts of the Bible. Rather, people try to read into it verses where the context will not support it. The millennium is a good introduction to one of the main ways that people get lost in their efforts to understand the Bible. Rather than reading from the Bible, they read into the Bible. For example, someone may think that the consumption of alcohol is a bad idea. With great zeal, then they then search for supporting passages that mention the ills of drunkenness or warn against it, as in Proverbs 23, verses 31 through 32, and Luke chapter 1, verse 15. They next string these together and add encouraging passages for leading an exemplary Christian life, as in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. They ignore passages such as when Jesus turned water into wine for a wedding party where significant alcohol had already been consumed, in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and those that speak against judging people based on what they eat or drink. The result of their efforts appears to be a good case for prohibition, which the Bible never makes if one uses a proper method of interpretation. So we end where we begin. To prevent misunderstanding the Bible, we must accept the Bible for what it claims to be, namely the inerrant Word of God. It was written around his plan of salvation and centers on Jesus Christ, the Messiah. We must read what is there in the context of which it was given. We must let the clear passages illuminate the cloudy. If passages refer to the nature and or work of the Lord, they may be beyond our ability to completely understand and reconcile. If they discuss earthly things, then they should be comprehensible by the human mind with sufficient study. If we cannot find a clear seat of doctrine on some matter, then it is unimportant for salvation. The Lord is a hidden God, but he loves people enough to give them what they need to know for their eternal salvation, not necessarily what they want to know. This episode is part of our Peace Be With You podcast, brought to you by Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas. To find out more about us, please visit us online at epiphanybastrop.org. You can reach us by email at peacebewithyoupodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Pastor EB saying so long, and peace be with you.